How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my buddy Ronald. Ronnie, how's it going that side?
Yeah, couldn't talk. It's going all right this side. Nice eventful rugby this weekend.
Yeah, I see we're trading off positions at the moment because the last time we recorded, you were sitting there in a hoodie and cold, and now it looks like you're starting to warm up, and here I am in a hoodie in South Africa and getting cold.
No, trust me, my friend, today's freezing. It wasn't so cold a few days ago. I even checked Amazon out for a fan. But yesterday and today have been single digits.
Really, hey? So did you find a fan or not? Nothing's air conditioned there,
Nothing's air conditioned. It's all bloody heaters everywhere. I don't understand how they do this. I mean, I'm sure it's cold, but there's just way too many heaters per capita.
hey? Ronnie, I'm actually a little bit curious. What are you eating now that you're in Germany? What's the staple? Are you sticking to schnitzels on a roll, or are you what's
Oh.
the cuisine? Seafood?
No, not seafood. Well, sure, there's this part of the world, there's a Maiche's Fest. So they've got a festival coming up soon where they sell this raw fish that you eat, salted raw fish. So looking forward to that. But no, I tend to stop off at the Kombi. It's a grocery store, and I go to the back to where the butchery is, and then I buy myself a schnitzel or a cotlet and some Kartoffelsalat. It's all right. It's not too bad.
So you're embracing the culture that side, hey?
I don't know if it's embracing the culture when this is the food that I have grown up eating. So,
Okay, well that's good. I think you're gonna need to send us a photo of this salted fish so we can pop it up on Instagram for everyone to see, because I'm a little bit curious as to what that's gonna be like. Have you had any public holidays? You've just been grafting straight out, because yes, we've had so many here the past few weeks. I don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha at this point.
is that one of those English jokes that none of us gets, Arthur or Martha?
Yeah, I forget that you're in Germany and have a German sense of humor. That's my bad. That's on.
Oh, we don't get paid for you, man. That yeah. Yeah. No, look, there's obviously been public holidays, but we're working. We're working very hard, my friend. We're working for lots of money one day, hopefully.
Yeah, I've said it before on the show. I'm very worried about German engineering now that it's in your hands, but we deal with it as we must. Ronnie,
Yeah.
this weekend then we had some Champions and Challenge Cup actions. It was the semi-finals. Some good games, some a little bit more boring, but all in all, a decent amount of action. Starting with Saturday, we had the South African coaches facing off, Sean Everett versus Johan van Kraan. Should we tell the listeners about what you did in Paris with old Johan van Kraan, Ronnie?
Don't even joke. That was you, my friend. You stood there right with me. You took a selfie with me. Are you an idiot?
So we're there walking the streets of Paris ahead of the World Cup final. Ronnie and I are walking around the stadium, and here comes this guy, and some people are taking photos of him, and there's Ronnie. Oh, it's Johan van Kraan. Come, let's take a photo. So off Ronnie and I go, we snap a picture with the guy. Lo and behold, we go to our seats in the stand to watch the final, and none other in front of us then. Who, Ronnie?
Well, who we thought was Jan van Kraan, but who turns out is actually Bok van Blerk.
Yeah. So for half a day, we walked around thinking we had a photo with Johan van Kraan. Meanwhile, we had a photo with Bok van Blerk. Ronnie featuring on Bok's Instagram, even from the final. But yeah, that was a nice little slip up there, hey, Ronnie. So they went to battle this weekend. Thomas the Tank and Louis Schroeder also featuring there for Bath in that one and getting the win. It was a 24 points to 39 win for Bath away at Edinburgh at the Hive Stadium. Did you catch the game, Ronald?
I did actually watch this game. Well, let's say I caught the second half live, which was very entertaining. Of course, if you're a Bath fan, it's also nice to see a little bit of South African representation still in the tournament, considering that our teams themselves were sitting at home on the couch.
Maybe little in terms of number of people, but no one's ever called Thomas the Tank little. It was a big South African representation.
Sure, Thomas the Tank. Yeah. And well done. Very happy for him. That's it looks like a Bath really turned a corner from where they were a couple of years ago. Bottom of the log, bottom of the barrel team, and now they're really playing very well. And it was a very entertaining game, in my opinion.
So they were outscored 6 tries to 3. I see you've edited the notes to say, but Nick ran away with the butter. But But anyways, it was only at the end that the score really got away from Edinburgh. It was quite a tight game up to the last sort of 65th, 70th minute, and then Bath sort of pulled ahead. But an interesting chat I want to have with you, Ronnie, as regards to Finn Russell, because everyone's touting him to be the Lions' main 10 for the tour. The squad is being named this coming Thursday. I didn't feel like Finn really influence that game that much. I mean, he did his job, he did what was needed, but you know, this big Finn that we always speak of, I don't feel like he really had a grip on that game and influenced it to the extent we know he's able to. But I mean, does that say anything for his Lions selection credentials, Ronnie? Or is he a shoo-in? He's definitely going as the most experienced 10 available.
Yeah, of course you would bring this sort of topic up and say that you felt that Finn didn't have a good game. But look, yeah, I'd say Finn, it would make sense for me to take Finn along. He's an exciting 10. He's an experienced 10. And look, you need a bit of Scottish representation in their back line there. Although they do have a couple of players that have been stepping up recently. I think every time that the Lions are announced every 4 years, there's always some really good players that get left behind, and everybody's asking a question why. I don't think that Andy Farrell's going to leave Finn Russell at home, considering the youth of all the other options at 10.
Yeah, I think Finn's definitely got his ticket to the Aussies. Ronnie, Bath had 147 carries in this game to Edinburgh's 72. And I think this is a theme from most of the weekend, is that you can carry and carry and carry, but defense is the most crucial element. You've got to be able to stop them as well. Bath really defending well for long stages, managing to score some points along the way as well. But
Yeah.
Ronnie, then over to the other semi-final from the EPCR. So we'll deal with the Challenge Cup first. And that game happened on Sunday, where Lyon played host to Racing 92. 29 point to 15 victory for Lyon in that one. Interestingly enough, Owen Farrell O'Faz was starting at 12. He was captaining Racing in this fixture. However, he was concussed in about the 20th minute, so he didn't feature much throughout the game. I'm going to throw this one at you now. What is his Lions selection chances, considering Dad's the coach? He's still generally in fine form. And what are you expecting there? Are we going to see Faz down under or not?
Well, I wonder what this con the impact of this concussion will be. Look, I'm sure this concussion will be resolved in a couple of weeks, one or two. But let's be honest, though. I know Andy Farrell's a professional, and so is Owen. But this is probably Owen Farrell's last Lions tour. And do you think his father's not going to take him? I think the coach Andy Farrell might consider not taking him, although that's still a long shot. But I think the dad, Andy Farrell, he's not going to leave his son behind.
It definitely makes for an interesting look, because if you're going to take Faz and you're going to take Finn Russell, there's a lot of young fly half talent currently in the UK that's then being overlooked. So I'm really curious what's going to happen here, because there's two other players also playing in France at the moment that are on the radar, may not get selected, and that's Jack Willis and also a big Courtney Laws. So I'm very curious what Andy Farrell's going to do there.
I think very simply, Andy can speak to his son quite frankly in terms of what he wants and what he expects. Maybe something that he can't do with other people, other players, because it's his son, you know. But secondly, and most importantly, Faz has been playing at 12 more than he has at 10. So I wouldn't be looking at him as a 10 for the Lions. Obviously, a backup at 10, sure, but an option at 12, a very physical option at 12, is what I would. Looking, I'd say Finn Russell with Owen Farrell at 12, and Marcus Smith at 15.
I mean, don't forget, he's our most decorated and graduated tackle school attendant. So,
Yeah, it's a wealth of experience.
yeah. So, I mean, it was a tough last 10 minutes for Racing with 14 men. They were trying to turn it up and sort of claw their way back into the game. But when you're a man short, you know, it's really difficult to do. I think the penalties ultimately killed it for them, though. I mean, 5 penalties to 1. That just kills off a contest when you're giving the other team field possession, giving them chances to kick at posts. You know, you're never going to get ahead in those scenarios.
Are you sure that statistic's right? 5-1.
I am sure. I'm talking
Oh,
about
that's
penalties
incredible.
converted.
Okay, so that's what you meant there. I was about to call you out and say this is an incorrect fact. But look, yeah, absolutely. So if you take your chances with the penalties, it's going to put you ahead. You know, scoring doesn't just come from the games, the plays you make, the opportunities you take advantage of, but the mistakes that your opposition makes. And if Racing's going to make those mistakes and Leon capitalizes, well, then they deserve to be finalists to take on Bath.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Leon then progressing, they will face Bath in the final that will be in Cardiff. Leon last won the Challenge Cup, in 2022. So they'll be looking for that piece of silverware again. Ronnie, let's jump over
Hold
there.
on. Hold on. Do we make a prediction here or not? Or do we just keep quiet about it?
I think we'll make the prediction in the week before the game.
Let's make one now. See how smart you are. Make one now or make one a week before.
I'm going to go for Leon.
Go for Bath, because closer to home.
Closer to home. Okay. Well, let's see, Ronnie. We'll come back to this one for the episode ahead of the final as well. Then, Champions Cup. These were two games I really enjoyed watching this weekend. There was some absolute class rugby on display. The first one was in Dublin at the Aviva. Leinster, the ultimate chokers, going down 34 points to 37 against Northampton Saints. Ronnie, I don't know about you, but as much as I wanted to support Leinster, seeing Arfia there and Jacques Nienaber and being like, you know what, boys, for them, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I was very glad to see Northampton Saints, storm off to such a lead in the early stages and then hold out on that lead until the end of the game. But there was a part of me that thought, geez, at least for Argia, Jacques Nienaber, even for Jordy Barrett, I wanted to see them do well. Yeah, but the reality is Leinster, geez, 6 years now that they've been struggling and they do so well leading up until when it really matters, and then they fall short. So it's gotta suck to be Irish when your team does so well and is so strong and is so powerful, and then they just seem to trip right at the finish line every time.
It's so true, Ronnie. I mean, Saints is now through to their first final since 2011. But the phenomenal thing for me here is the Saints are seventh in the Prem. Leinster are first in the URC. So, it shows competition to competition, you can't read too much into it. Game to game, even, you can't read too much into it because Leinster's round 16 and quarterfinals, they won 62-0 and 52-0. Not a point scored against them. Saints come on. And this is actually the topic I want to delve in because we did briefly chat about it before. Leinster having won those two games so comprehensively, does that fail to prepare them for a game like this? Where Saints come in, there's no pressure on them. No one thought that Saints were going to win this one. They had nothing to lose.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And when you brought up this topic now, this game, that's exactly what came to mind, right? I think we agreed that if you absolutely thrash your opponent, you tend to be underprepared for your next game. And I think that's what's happened here. Leinster absolutely demolished the opposition for two knockout games in a row, and then were unable to get up and win a game against the Saints, right? Against a team that arguably shouldn't be where they are, but have done an incredible performance in the Champions Cup. That doesn't seem to correlate to their position in the Prem. But yeah, this is great European slash African knockout rugby, and it is a game that everyone I think enjoyed, or every neutral at least.
Yeah, honestly, it was a fantastic display of rugby this game. It had everything. Five tries to each side, 10 in total. That's phenomenal. That Freeman hat trick, he just seemed to find the space out wide, an absolute workhorse. But yes, he seemed to find the space, and that's not normally available against the Leinster side.
Yeah, and it's a I think Leinster are quite proud of how clean the sheet is in terms of their defense, and Freeman comes along and dots down three tries. So well done to him. And before the half time. So really incredible. Incredible. I was very happy. It was, I found myself, my blood pressure spiking and the adrenaline pumping for a team that I typically have never supported. So I was very proud of them.
Yeah, it was impressive. And the fact that Saints led the game for 65 minutes as well says they came out to play. They knew that they had to build up a lead and then hold on to it. And absolutely well done to them for doing so. There were three yellow cards in this fixture for Saints, all of them going Saints' way. Two of them were repeated infringements, and the guys just ended up on the wrong end of the call at that time. But the one on Josh Kemeny for his high tackle on Rabah Slimani, I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Ronnie, because when Candice and I were watching the game, I said to her, can you imagine Bucky Sporta or Skulk or Butch James playing rugby as it is now. That was a barely a knock on the chin. And there we go, yellow card.
Yeah, I suppose it always comes down to, we can disagree and agree about these sorts of topics until the cows come home. I thought he was quite lucky that it was only a yellow card. Look, the referee's explanation, I think, was, it hit in the chest, although there was contact with the neck, forceful contact, the original contact was made with the chest, so it's fine, mitigated down to yellow. Whereas I thought, geez, that if it wasn't someone like Slimani, you could have taken the someone's head off, right? If that's a Chez and Colby, someone with, well, maybe not Chez and Colby because he's got a big neck, but some other player, you could easily have seriously injured. It's only the fact that Slimani's this really broad unit that he can take a hit like that. But with that said, if a high tackle happens, the tackle player should always go off for a head injury assessment.
Yeah, I think that's something we've agreed on numerous times on this show, is if you're going to fall down and claim a head knock, whether or not there is one or not, it should be compulsory then to go for a ding-dong test, because this is dangerous then. If you're claiming you were hit dangerously, well, let's go get you checked then. Take your 10 minutes off the pitch to get checked. But yeah, Ronnie, I think there's not much more we can say about Leinster other than the fact that they are serial chokers. It must suck to be an Irish rugby fan at the moment, because your team dominates, you get your hopes up, and then you find yourself in this position again, knocked out in the semis. Really, really frustrating. And I see now there's quite a bit of commentary doing the rounds. The truth behind it is questionable, but that Jacques and Leo Cullen were not allowed to select Geordie Barrett in the starting team. And I don't know what to make of that, because yes, Geordie is a phenomenal player, probably the best 12 that they had available. But in the same breath, were they not just looking at the bench the way the Springboks do and many other teams do now, where you want some of your top talent coming on to close a fixture out?
Yeah, but look, Jody Barrett is an incredible player. I would have also liked to have seen him on the field a bit longer, and I think maybe he could have turned the tide a bit in Leinster's favour. I was a bit surprised, but you're right. When you say that, it makes perfect sense. You can always make the argument for these very good players coming off the bench at the right time. And look, your strategy can be to bring him on at a certain minute, and it might not pay off. You should have brought him on 5 or 10 minutes even earlier. So these things happen, and on the day, it's who plays a tactic or who plays a strategy that ultimately wins the game, whether by 1 point or 20. So I would have liked to have seen them more, but yes, the fact that you do say that they do what the Springboks often do is perfectly valid.
Ronnie, we're going to deal with a few players now, and the first one we have to start with is Henry Pollock. So he's been phenomenal in both the Prem and the Champions Cup. He had a banger of a game yesterday, only 20 years old. He has one cap for the English that was against Wales in the Six Nations this year, but otherwise, he has not yet been capped against a Tier 1 nation. That might be quite insulting to our Welsh listeners, but where Wales are currently, I don't think that really counts as a true test of his ability. Is he going to get a Lions call-up from Andy? Or, is he big? Yes, he's great, but untested, and therefore there's enough stock in the locks, or loose forward, sorry. Because for me, if you're going to toss up between someone like Courtney Laws versus Henry Pollock, you go for a Courtney Laws.
Yeah, when I try and look at the Lions team, I like to imagine players from every single one of the four nations making the team. And I really can't see anyone from the Welsh side other than what they have in their Lucy. Lucy's actually making it. So for that reason, I don't know. Is Henry Pollock perhaps going to fall out and he's going to be one of the unlucky ones, the one that everyone writes about in favour of, some of the Lucy's coming from Wales? So he's an incredible player, no doubt about it. But the fact that he's young means that he's still got opportunities later on in his career, most likely, to play for the Lions. So is this going to be one of those positions where Andy Farrell's going to sacrifice a more experienced player, or a player that he knows has been tested more in favor of him? I don't know. I think potentially Henry Pollock's going to be unlucky, which would be really sad, because you're right, he's an incredible player on the field, and more often than not, he's man of the match worthy.
It actually reminds me a bit of the Lions tour here in 2021, because if you recall there, Marcus Smith wasn't selected and he was much the rave like Pollock is now. And then when there was an injury on tour, Marcus Smith was flown in. You know, he debuted for England and then the next day was on a flight through to South Africa. So you never know. The injuries happen, things change. But as it stands, whilst he's definitely a bolter, I don't see Pollock making the Lions squad that's being named on Thursday.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. That's a great point. Ever since Rusty didn't pick Pollock and certain other players for the Rugby World Cup, that's exactly the reason. Players will get injured. It's impossible to take X amount of players across and not have a single injury happen. So if he's on that grey list, that first change list, then yeah, he's most likely going to get a shot. But it's a long tour. There's many games that need to be played. So absolutely he can make it, but yo, I don't know. Not first choice in my opinion, although he's good enough for it.
So then the biggest debate. So we've now spoken Finn, we've spoken Faz. You've also got to factor in Marcus Smith, George Ford. Then you've got to look at Finn Smith and Sam Pendergrast. Either of them going, both of them going. What are you making of that, Ronnie? And especially after they're showing the final this weekend, both missing two conversions.
Yeah, I think Sam's going to go. I think Prendergast has got a shot purely because the coach is Irish. But I think what Sam suffers from is, everyone's been comparing him to Sexton, and he was the one left standing there when the dust settled after Sexton's retirement. So everyone's looking at him to that. And I think he's very young and he's still got a long way to go. So I think he's in with a shot. Sure, I would like to see Finn Smith go because in my opinion, Finn Smith is definitely a form 10, and when you really need him, he steps up and does quite well. With I think Marcus Smith going to 15, that could work quite well. But yeah, look, there's going to be a lot of fly halves going across because each one of the nations has one or two on offer.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right, Ronnie. It's going to be so interesting to see when the squad gets named. And obviously, we're talking a lot about this game because the number of players that featured there in the selection frame come the squad naming. Let's go over then to Sunday's semi-final. Bordeaux hosting Toulouse, a 35-18 win for Bordeaux. I was very surprised when I went on Super Brew and saw that I backed Bordeaux to win this one. I see that you did too. But yeah, well bloody done to them. They're through to their first ever Champions Cup final.
This is the first one. I did not realize that. So, look, this is fantastic. What a final matchup that awaits. Saints versus Bordeaux. Really, you could have argued and said it was absolutely guaranteed to be Leinster versus Toulouse. But I think it's a lot more exciting, the fact that it's Saints versus Bordeaux. And Bordeaux stepped up to the plate. They've put in some incredible performances this season in the top 14, as well as the Champions Cup. So, yeah, I just felt at home. It's Bordeaux's to lose.
Yeah, no, they did flip and well there. 5-2. I mean, I don't think the commentary team could have said any more times about how they were missing Dupont, Ramos, and Kinghorn. They really went on about that. Guys get injured. Got to make do. You got to go. There was plenty of talent throughout that Toulouse team. So a few players missing. I don't think you can sit and cry about that. But here's another one now where it shows that defense wins titles because Bordeaux making 90 carries, Toulouse 127. And Toulouse was really making them work for it. But that scatter defense of Bordeaux was unbelievable.
Reminds me of the days when you and I used to play Xbox Jonah Loma Rugby, and I used to make so much more tackles and also beat you so much with so much more points on the scoreboard.
A lot of so much is there and very little truth, Ronnie. Bialbieri, how was that try from the second half? Kickoff, 26 seconds. Try, catches it, pops it off, wraps around, picks it up, scores it down. 26 seconds. That was phenomenal.
I knew. When I saw it, I knew absolutely this is what we were going to talk about. So he's an exciting player, right? He's a superstar in the waiting, right? So if he isn't, if people don't already consider him a superstar, just give him some time. He's going to be huge. And he's such a small player, he's so quick. He's quite literally, in my opinion, the French answer to Cheslin, the French equivalent to Cheslin Kolbe. So exciting. And that specific try, wow, what a great try.
Well, I mean, the final were up for some intense wing play because Freeman got a hat trick in the semi. You've got Damien Penaud still for Bordeaux as well. Bialbieri. it's really, really going to make for a nice contest come the final. But I think the biggest surprise for me this weekend, I didn't know that Maxime Lucu could kick that bloody well. Started a nice 48-meter conversion over, really, really doing well there.
No, Luke is one of those nines that quite honestly deserves to start for his country, and the French are just so blessed with the quality of nines that they do have. So Luke would be playing starting lineup in most countries, I believe. And yeah, like you say, he's got that broad skill set. He can kick as well, in addition to distributing the ball really well.
Yeah, absolutely, Ronnie. So that wraps up then the Challenge and Champions Cup action. We'll just take a quick look at the URC log, because lots going down there as the final rounds approach us too, and we head to the playoff stages. Leinster still in first place. You've got the Bulls in third and the Sharks in fourth. Stormers have managed to creep their way up into sixth spot. Scarlets and Benetton at 7 and 8. But Ronnie, Munster, Edinburgh, Ospreys, and Ulster all still in with a shot of making that top eight. Sharks Bulls guaranteed quarterfinal berth at this point. But yeah, it's going to make for an interesting round of rugby come this weekend.
Yeah, I just is there any I can't exactly remember, are we allowed to play at home, the South African sides, or do we have to play our fixtures abroad, or was that only for the Challenge and Champions Cup?
That's only the Challenge and Champions Cup. So as it stands, the Sharks and Bulls would be hosting home finals. The Bulls would, in fact, be hosting the Stormers. So that's as it stands now. Whilst the Sharks and Bulls are guaranteed a quarterfinal, they're not yet guaranteed home quarterfinal. One more win each will see that. So big round coming for the boys. Ronnie, then over to a bit of the news that we've missed out on in the last few weeks. I know this is a little bit old now, but I really had a laugh at this one. So Rico Ioane has signed a sabbatical now to go over to Leinster in place of Jordie Barrett. Johnny Sexton must be fucking pissed, man. We know that him and Rico don't get along, and now Rico's going over to Ireland. We can rub a little salt in the wounds.
Yeah, you can maybe ask Sexton to sign his book.
And then an interesting fact that I actually saw with the signing is Jacques Nienaber will have now coached the Springboks, the All Blacks, and the Irish centre pairings in the space of 3 years. That's
Is this
incredible.
something that you picked up, or did you read this from someone else? Because that is an incredibly interesting factoid.
Phenomenal, hey? Springboks 2023, the Irish in 2024, Jordie Barrett, Rico Ioane, that's some impressive things. And especially for Jacques' defensive nuances, coaching those guys, I'm sure he's learned a lot, just like they will have learned a lot.
And that's the thing, they will have learned a lot. So anytime Jacques is involved, or even if Jacques isn't involved, those center pairings are going to know what to expect from a box setup.
Absolutely. Then, Ronnie, the Under-20 Rugby Championship is currently underway in PE. I don't know if you saw any of this, but Baby Box getting a 36 to 24 point win over Los Pumas was a strong end to the game. They did struggle early on, though. And then the Baby Blacks drawing to the Baby Wallabies 29 all. I guess they're kissing cousins down in PE at the moment.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a very entertaining game if you're a neutral.
Yeah. Then last week in the URC, Ronnie, Mapimpi overtook JP
Incredible.
Peterson as the Sharks' top try scorer with 40 tries in 88 games. JP Peterson had 39 tries in 137 games. So that's really lucky to see.
Considering that Mapimpi really only started featuring for the Sharks and also the Springboks at sort of the late stages of his career, if you could say, or well into his 20s, and JP started a little bit earlier. So 88 games and he scored 40 tries. Well done, my pimps.
Absolutely well done to him. Then, Ronnie, this one, I just pictured you and me, deciding in our young old age that we were going to go and play some club rugby, get involved, the local lads. It's more of a drinking team with a rugby problem than it is a rugby team. And out we stroll onto the pitch ready for our game, and none other but your opponent being Charlie Farmer-Weena. I'd be fucking pissed, eh? Charlie comes up there, plays a club rugby game in New Zealand 2 weeks ago. He's a 99 test cap All Black, 50 caps for the Blues, 129 caps for Toulouse. And here he's rocking up to play some low-level club footy. Yeah, not for me, hey.
No, I 100% agree. I'd also then fake pulling a calf muscle or something. But look, we've seen a number of great players play for the clubs, and Bismarck Duplessis playing for the Rovers and that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's all of these players are people you don't want to come up against in amateur rugby.
Not even slightly. I'd just be meeting everyone for the beers afterwards. I'm not scrumming old Charlie. Not a chance. Then, Ronnie, how incredible is it going to be that the Barbars are coming to South Africa for the very first time? They will be playing the Springboks in Cape Town in the last weekend of June. It's a pity that Cape Town really doesn't know how to sell tickets to any games, but hopefully that.
Are you going to try and get tickets and go?
Yeah, that would be really lucky to witness that one. That's a legendary game. I would love to see it. It's a pity you're not going to be here.
I've never seen the Barbarians play. I have seen the World 15 play down in Cape Town back in Newlands days. So, but the Barbars would be very exciting.
Yeah, that'll be a really, really lucky one. And I imagine there's going to be some South Africans taking part in that one. Guys on the fringe of the box selections getting an outing for the Barbarians as they come down here. So very, very keen for that. And then, as we've said throughout the whole episode, Ronnie, the Lions squad is going to be named on Thursday, so we will be bringing you guys some coverage. I'll be giving you guys a bit of a prediction on Punted this week as well for who I think is going to be in the squad, so you guys can keep your eyes peeled there. But Ronnie, are you going to give us the Mafokchor moment of the week this week?
Saints toppling Leinster. So well into the entire side, the entire team putting on an incredible performance, and in my opinion, one of the greatest knockout games this year or this season. It was truly spectacular.
That's it for this week on the Rugby Pundit. If you've enjoyed the episode, smash that like button, subscribe, and join us again next week for more rugby insights, banter, and the right amount of cheers. Don't forget to join us on Super Brew 2. We'll see who's got the best rugby predictions and who's just winging it.